Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on October 1st, 2024, taught by FaithBridge Men's pastor, Danny Hannon. Welcome to week 5 of our Embrace the Frontier series, a study on God's covenants.
Okay, well, man, I'm excited to bring the saga that is Abraham into our journey as we continue into the covenant story, what God's doing. So, okay, I'm gonna try something here, and I hope not to embarrass myself completely, but let's try an experiment. I'm gonna say a phrase, and I would love to see who can finish that phrase. Now, this is not to embarrass anybody who may not know it. It's just to see how old you guys are, like myself, that may know it. Ready? Okay, ready? Here we go. Father Abraham, and many sons had Father Abraham. All right, good. I'm not the only 70, 80s baby in this room. That means he's getting into it. That means that what's the reality there? That means that a lot of us grew up with this story. We've heard this story. Now, if you've never heard the Abraham story, he was the father of many sons and many nations. There you go. You're caught up. Now, I'll fill you in on some of the details as we go. But the point is that I was even exploring this week, like, man, how do we dive into this when so many of us have probably heard this over and over and over again? How do we extrapolate something new out of the story and praise God for his living word, right? Like, there is always something new that we can learn. So another quick experiment here, survey. Raise your hand if you have ever read, now hang on, don't just jump the gun. Just wait a second. Let me get everything out. Raise your hand if you have read the Bible cover to cover on purpose. I don't mean because I've been a Christian for 30 years. You know, eventually I've read every book. I mean, if you've intentionally gone cover to cover, raise your hand if you've ever read it. Wow. Wow. Way better Christians than me in this room. That's amazing. That's awesome. Okay, well, then I'm hoping the rest of you guys are maybe more like me, where you're like enthusiastic. You're like, man, I'm going to do it. This is going to be the year. I'm going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to make it all the way to Revelations. And inevitably, what happens? We get to the law, and we're like, and I'm out. I'm out. It reminds me of a buddy of mine, Eric. And I love doing this, because like 5 guys in this room named Eric just went, uh-oh, is he about to call me out? This Eric will know who he is, and there may be a few other guys in this room will know who this is, but it reminded me as I was preparing this message, I instantly thought of my buddy, and I started laughing out loud. So I'm like, okay, maybe God wants me to share this story. So we had a retreat several weeks ago, back in August, and on the text thread, one of the guys goes, hey, I want to get up and I want to go for a run. Does anybody want to wake up and go for a run with me? So there was like, yeah, I love it, because Eric in this room knows who he is. But so he's like, Eric's like, yeah, I'm in. Let's do it. And now we were like, okay. We didn't know Eric was a runner, but that's awesome. He's going to jump in. He's going to do this. He felt motivated, like Danny does with reading the Bible cover to cover. He's feeling motivated. So Saturday morning comes around. We're all waiting at 6 a.m. at the front door, got our running shoes on, and we're waiting for Eric. And he hasn't come down the stairs yet. So we're thinking, okay, maybe he's just still asleep. Let me go wake him up. Now, I've also learned Eric's from New York, so you have to be very careful how you wake up a New Yorker, right? So I knew I'm going to like, okay, I'm going to get, I'm like, okay, I'm going to just like, just reach out. I'm like, just, hey, bro, hey, it's me. And he pops up. I'm like, hey, it's Danny. It's all good. It's okay. But hey, we're going to go for a run. Did you want to go? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm in. And I mean, he like went from zero asleep to like wide awake. He's ready to go. He's going to get out of the bed. And then he goes, well, wait, how far are y'all going? I don't know, 3-4 miles. Oh, yeah, no, I'm out. And he instantly went back to sleep. I mean, without skipping a beat, it was awesome. And that, like, reminded me, I'm like, that's how I get sometimes when I read Genesis and I get into the Old Testament. I'm like, I'm fired up. And then Leviticus, nope, I'm out. I got to get to Joshua and pick it up. But I say all that to say, guys, yes, it is important that we read the law. But it can take some endurance to get through it. But why do I say that? I say that because what does that mean for me and probably a lot of guys in this room? As we have read the Adam to Joshua story over and over and over and over again, almost to the point that we haven't memorized. And that's kind of where I found myself when I'm like, hey, how am I going to pull this? What new information can I extrapolate from this? And so I'm hoping that we can realize in this tonight, in your table discussion tonight, in the teaching tonight, that we can start to pick up on some of those verses, especially if you guys have read this over and over again like myself, that we can see in those other verses, we can start to see maybe there's something new because we've been so focused on the big picture story. But now that we've read it so much, we can start to pay attention to the little details. So that's my hope tonight. So we're going to jump right in with that. So let me say this. Why Abraham? Like, why Abraham? Anybody, like, thought about that? Like, what makes Abraham special to be the father of many nations, to be the one that God picked to say, I'm going to have you bring my name into the world? What made him so special? And I've thought about that. Like, was it about his perfect actions? Like, no. And I started thinking about, like, the superheroes of the Bible, the biblical figures that we know, the covenantal men. Like, I know we heard from Pratik last time on Noah. I'm like, what is it about these men? Moses and David, we just finished Joseph on Sunday mornings. Like, what is it about these men? Is it about their perfect actions? No. It's really about their heart. Right, we all know that we make boneheaded decisions, right? But I was even exploring as I was developing this, and I'm like, Lord, I find myself going, you know, I know that I'm not perfect, right? And I make plenty of mistakes, but I felt like David in Psalm 139, where he says, "Search me out, O Lord, and know my heart. Know my heart, like that's all I have." So it starts with Abraham. Like, Abraham was the first who almost, like, figured it out. And God knew that. God said, you're going to be my guy because you're going to bring my name into the world because you're going to figure out something very important that I need the world to see, that every other biblical figure who would fall in behind him would go, we're not perfect. We don't make perfect decisions. We don't have the perfect actions, but our faith is being perfected and how we're trusting in God and that we're just giving him our heart. And that's what Abraham was doing. That's why Abraham. So, but inevitably, for the Abraham story, it all starts somewhere. And this is our first point for the night. It starts, number one, where does it begin? In chapter 12. It starts with him being in the frontier, right? Called to the frontier first. Abraham is called to the frontier. And we see this in chapter 12, verses 1, right at the beginning. It says, y'all can follow along with me. Verses 1 through 4. All right, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will dishonor you who curse you. And then all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. I love that, right? Abraham went as the Lord had told him. So he's called to the frontier. Why does God call him out into the frontier? Why? What's the why? We should ask ourselves, what's going on here? Well, God knows that in order to get him where he needs him to be, in order to where God needs Abram to be, remember his name is Abram right now, where he needs him to be, he's got to get him out from the comfortable. He's got to get him out from the familiar. He's got to get him to where he can just focus on just God, where Abraham can absolutely give him his focus. Because we have to remember, in the region at this time, what's happening is there's a lot of gods, lowercase g gods everywhere, right? Abram is surrounded by these. So God is saying, I'm going to get you out of the familiar so that I can get your attention and you can begin to journey with me. Which also means, it doesn't mean that he's perfect, right? It doesn't mean that he's going to get this figured out. He's learning. He's trying to understand it. Right. Okay. So then that leads us then to our second point, the number two, which is then we see as he's progressing, right, as Abraham's beginning the journey with God, now God has an opportunity. He says, okay, I'm going to reveal my great covenant in you. I'm going to reveal the great covenant, the bigger picture. That's what you've got to start to see is there's a bigger picture at play. There's a bigger game plan here at play. But what is God doing in chapter 15? Is he is revealing that he is the only one that can fulfill the covenant. He's the only one that can fulfill this whole great plan. Because what we're going to see, what we continue to see, is Abraham tries to do it on his own. Right? You guys probably have seen that through your writings, that he's like, oh, I'm going to take a promise that God gave me, and I'm going to fulfill it for you, God. I'm going to take what you promised me, and I'm going to make it a reality. Right? We know what happened with Hagar. Didn't work out so good for him, did it? Right? So God is saying in chapter 15, we see, go ahead and move to the verse for me. You guys should know my notes have all disappeared. So I'm doing this from the slides. So y'all can keep me in prayers. We're going through this because my bullet points just vanished. So I need my guy in the back to be clicking those slides. Like, you're supposed to be in my head, Sean. Don't you just know what I need next, right? You got it. Okay, so let's jump in. That is in the wrong location. See? No, keep going back. No, wait, we don't have one for 15. See, that's what happens when I don't have my notes. I don't have one for 15. Let's talk about chapter 15 for a bit because there's a lot to unpack. And I want to encourage you guys at the table to be able to unpack that. But what is happening? This is that covenant moment where God says, look, Abram, I need to get your attention. I am going to give you an heir. The heir you think you have is not who it is. There is an heir that will come from you, and you will bless the entire world because of you. And then Abram's trying to challenge him. He's like, well, how am I supposed to know, God? How am I supposed to know that this is going to happen? And so he establishes the covenant with him, and he shows him. And I love this. My favorite part of this whole story, and y'all probably, if y'all were here on Sundays when Scott Pollock went through this, it's incredible. But what you need to know if you didn't catch that message is in that time, the way that covenants were done is you would have a larger nation and a smaller nation, a weaker nation, more powerful and a weaker nation make an alliance, okay? That's not rocket science. That's what we have now, right? Like we have, you know, allies that we partner with. But think of America with like, say, Mexico, okay, or Canada, right? There's no denying the fact that our military is bigger than both of those nations, right? Our GDP, all those things. America's the bigger country, okay? So this would be like the president of Mexico coming to the president of America and saying, hey, I want to make an alliance with you, you alone, and I will pledge my allegiance to you and you alone, Mexico to America. So what would happen is then the president of the bigger country or the king of the bigger country, the powerful country, would say, great, okay, perfect. We're going to take all these animals, we're going to sever them in half, and we're going to put the carcasses on either side. And then the president of the smaller, or the king of the smaller, would have to walk through the middle of them to say, if I break this covenant, this is what will happen to me. Now, the cool part is so God, first off, he is entering the world in something that Abram would understand, right? But then the really cool part is it's not, most people would go, oh, so Abram walked through the carcasses because he's definitely weaker than God. No, it's God who moved through the carcasses. It's God saying, no matter what you do, Abram, I am going to keep my end of the bargain. I am going to ensure that this is fulfilled. No matter what humanity does, I will make sure there was a way back to me. I'm going to see this through. So he's making that promise, and that's what we're seeing in chapter 15. Okay, so now, moving on to the next one as we quickly get through this, because I really want you guys to have the time at your table. What do we see then the next thing that really is starting to take shape in Abram's life, right? He's starting to figure out, he's starting to realize, whoa, there is something really big and powerful about this God, this Yahweh, this I Am. And so what do we see then in chapter 17? We'll jump to that real quick. At the beginning verses, I love how this begins, but in verse 1, he goes, when Abram was 99 years old. Now keep in mind, he was called at 75. Put this in your mind bank, because that's now 2.5 decades that Abram's been wandering. This isn't happening over days and months, right? Okay, so it starts, when he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between you and me, and may multiply you greatly. Here we go. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I've made you the father of a multitude of nations. What just happened there, guys? We saw it. It's like what Ian had mentioned in Shop Talk. This is the posture. This should always be our posture. Abraham finally starts to figure out that it's not about how perfect I need to become. It's do I recognize that I have got to surrender to God? He is God of the universe. He's the creator. And the only posture that we should be in is like this. You are God, I am not. You are authority, not a authority, not the authority. He is authority. He's everything. So this is his posture. He surrenders. Have we surrendered? Do we recognize or do we still have a misconception of God? We treat him as a authority, Or do we recognize that it's authority with God? And he surrenders and he just collapses before him and he recognizes. So we have to ask ourselves, are we in that posture as well? Then we see, moving quickly through it. That's when we get to see where I go to this point number four. It's the perfect one because Abram finally realized absolution of God. It's back to that point. He's surrendered now, and he's also recognizing it's absolution. It is just God. It is just him. No longer are these other lowercase g gods out there. It's just God, the Yahweh, God of the universe, the I Am. Okay, and we see this starting in 22. I want to point something out that we can see. 22, let me jump to it. Starting in verse 1, here we go. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God told him. Did y'all see what just happened there? When I say absolution of God, if I were to say, you know, you used to hear this if anybody was in sports or military or anything where you're dealing with like a coach or a drill instructor versus to a player, you know, the authority would be if I say jump, you say how high? Not with God. If God says jump, what do we do? Jump. There's no place for questions. You jump. God will tell you if it's too high or too low or not enough or more effort. But we don't take the time to sit there and pause and go, okay, well, give me some more details, God. Like, before I do this, give me some more details. Do I need to take, you know, how much wood do I need to take? How long am I going to be gone? Like, before I decide if I'm going to do this, God, you know, maybe should I take another lamb just in case you change your mind? There's none of that. There's absolution with him. He's like, it's God. He told me to go, I go. Now, the other thing which is leading into our final point, which is faith perfected. Abraham's faith is now being perfected. Why is that? Okay, why is that? We're about to see it here, the end of 22. Starting in verse 10. Then Abraham reached out with his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that your fear of God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket. And then we jump down to, where do we go next? I think it was verse 15, yeah. And the angel of the Lord called a second time to Abraham from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn and declares the Lord, because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heavens and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in the offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. Because you've obeyed my voice. You see, his faith was perfected now. Because before, we got to remember all these other times he was giving him, telling him what he was going to be doing. And Abraham's trying to fulfill God's promise on behalf of God, right? Anytime we take and try to fulfill something that God's doing and we try to do it on our own, we cause chaos. We cause chaos on our own will, at our discretion, to try to fulfill something and act on his behalf. We're going to cause chaos. And so what we see in Abraham in these final moments is him saying, it's just you. And I know that you've told me that Isaac is going to be the heir of which all nations will come from. So now, like Adam, he had an opportunity to say, wait a second, God. Like you told me, you're actually withholding goodness from me. I don't trust your goodness. Because remember, Adam said, you know, God said, you have all of this. And Adam said, that's not enough. I want that too. And Abraham had an opportunity to say, wait a second, you gave me a son. No, hang on, God, you got to be wrong here. No, he's stepping in saying, I'm going to trust you in this moment. I don't know how you're going to do this, God, because you've promised me and I trust your promise and I trust your goodness. It's all about trust. Do we trust his goodness? Do we trust what he's doing in our lives to bring us to that point of peace and new life and how he's completely restored us? Do we trust him? Or are we still trying to take it back, right? We're still trying to own it. So before we turn into our tables and we continue to discuss the Abraham saga, I want to leave us with this to say, how can we then incorporate this into our lives? As I saw the Abraham journey, I love Abraham because I feel like I can connect with him. I feel like I can relate with him. It's that idea of like, God, I live in a physical reality, and your presence to me is a spiritual presence, right? Your voice comes to me in prayer. It comes to me through my brothers. It comes to me through your word. But I'm still living in a physical reality. And sometimes it can be kind of hard where I feel like sometimes I bounce from boneheaded decision to boneheaded decision. And the risk that some might see to me is, man, how do I, like, I see that guy. He seems to have it all figured out. And I think that about some other people sometimes too. I'm like, so what is it about the journey of what I call the boneheaded decisions? You go from one to the next. This goes back to the point of going, God, just seek me and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart, right? So that we can get to the point for, sorry, I lost my train of thought. So that we can get to that point where he begins to shape us and mold us. And what you find is for me, then the gap between conviction and action on that conviction gets shorter and shorter. I want to go back to where it's like when you see a brother, like if you're new to the faith or maybe you've been doing this for a couple years, the risk is like what happened to me over the last couple weekends. I've been shooting with a friend of mine who is drastically better than I am. And it's easy to see that it's like, man, if I compare myself to him and if I try to be this guy, it's going to make me feel awful. Like, I can't keep up with this guy. Unless I put in perspective that this guy's been doing it for 20 years. Shooting 10,000 rounds a week. I don't. But I now know what I need to do if I wanted to be that good. Right? So we use men ahead of us so that we can also pull men behind us. We say, okay, I see where that guy is. He's been doing this for 20 years. The gaps, the time gap between when he feels something, when he acts on something, doesn't mean I've always gotten it right, but it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter. That's what our journey should look like. That's our journey of sanctification. So that, like with Abraham, he reveals it's all about giving God my heart, right? So that my faith can be perfected through my trust in him. We tracking? We good? All right. Let me pray first real quick, and then you guys jump into your table discussions. Lord, thank you so much again for this time. And I thank you for the word that you've given us, Lord. I thank you for the examples that we have a father like Abraham that we can fall in behind and see what it was that he did that led him to continue to have your favor upon him. Lord, we give you our hearts. That's what it's about. We give you our continue to stay in the fight. We continue to journey and to seek you, knowing that we will make mistakes, but we want to close that gap so that we can just continue to trust you and move forward. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in these men. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. Be with us now as we continue to discuss at our tables and let your truth be revealed. Let your presence be known. Father, we love you. We trust you. It's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.